In this evening, we'll be looking at the fastener of for the family. Fastener for the family. We've talked about the framework for the family. We'll talk about the foundation of the family. The framework is the three things: the biblical authority. Then we'll look also at biblical hierarchy and also some practical difficulties. Okay, so we've seen how the scriptures actually frame the family for us, number one. Number two, we look at the foundation, and we know that the foundation is very simple. It has to be in Christ. Every Christian family must have Christ as its foundation, okay? Not in word only, not in lip service only, but in practical reality, okay? Without that practical reality of Christ being the center and foundation, you will find that the family's foundation can be easily shaken, and as a result, the family can actually topple, okay? Today, we'll look at what actually pulls the family together, the glue that actually sticks the family together. Actually, I was thinking through this. We actually mentioned it many times, but we didn't really focus on it as a key point. But just in the short time, between 20 and 25 minutes, to focus on the three key points. Okay, we look at the bigger structure of the foundation and the framework. Now we're looking at the ligaments, if you like, the tendons, the things that actually hold the family together. And this is a very important part because it actually spells our responsibilities in the family. Okay? The mom, the dad, and the child, which is actually part of the family. Okay? So we're going to start off by looking at Genesis 3, chapter 2, verse 24. Okay, let's read together. Alright? Ready? Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Ready? 1, 2. Begin. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. All right, let's have a word of prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, we commit this session into your hands. We are grateful for the fun and games we have. Thank you for the brethren who have taken the effort to be part and parcel of the icebreaker, to participate so that we all, Lord, can have a lively spirit. And we thank you that you are in our midst, you're protecting us. Like Brother Zach mentioned, how, Lord, even if the food, you've taken care of us physically, right now as we learn, Lord, we pray that you give us spiritual input, that you teach us, that we might be grow. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. The Bible says here in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. It is God's plan from the beginning of time in the institution of marriage that the husband, the man and the wife live separate or be separate from the in-laws, basically. Okay? In different levels. Number one is the physical level. Physical level simply means that according to the scriptures, the man and the wife, when they get married, they are supposed to live separately. Okay? That prevents a lot of problems. Okay, with the in-laws. Okay, it's a practical problem, all right, this one. Now, the more important one is the dad and the mom need to leave the emotional security of their own parents because it is God's will to set up a new entity, okay? Now, the difficulty is whenever there's problems, sometimes the wife may say, I'm going back to my mom's, okay? There was one Christian dad, in-law, who says, when the daughter-in-law came, say, what are you doing here? So, dad, I haven't brought my marriage. No, sorry, you're going to go home. You're going to sort it out. Okay, you have to learn to solve problems within the family already. Okay, it's God's will for that to happen. But it's interesting. The Bible says, leave his father and his mother physically, emotionally, financially, okay, and even spiritual dependence. Now, spiritual dependence, we can get counsel from the in-laws, but because of the new entity, the dad is supposed to make the spiritual decision. Okay, the in-laws, maybe the grandparents can actually give counsel, but ultimately the new entity, the head of the new entity must make that decision. Now, from this verse, there may be practical problems. For example, financially, a family may not be able to. Okay, so, the goal of the dad in a new entity must be a must, by God's grace, to be financially independent and supporting one family. Okay? Of course, help is definitely available from the in-laws and all that. Sometimes a lot of in-laws like to help. That's fine. I don't think it's a problem. But if there are some families who actually only depend on that, now if that's the case, that's wrong. Okay? A new entity needs to take control of that. But the key thing I want to actually highlight with regards to today's simple message is the idea of the fastener. So what's a fastener? What do you mean by a fastener? Luis, what is a fastener? Like in ADL, you know, what is fastener? You know what's a fastener? Sorry? Again? Something that tightens, right? So example of tightness, example of fasteners. Any examples, anyone, of something that fastens things together? A belt, thank you, Samo. For t-shirt, you have buttons, you have zips, you have... Huh? What? Rope, okay, rope can be a fastener, yeah. Okay. This thing, there's also things called glue. Okay, you can actually fasten things together, bring things together. Okay. Now, what's a fastener for the family? The phrase here, the Bible says, therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and these two shall be one flesh. The principle of cleaving is in the Bible with regards to the husband and the wife. Okay? The word cleaving, the best example anyone can give is actually, have you heard of epoxy? What is it? We know it's epoxy glue. Okay? Two different chemicals mixed together. What happens when you actually put epoxy glue together to stick two things together? What actually happens? The chemical reaction happens, and what actually happens to the two surfaces? Do you get? They stick together. How do they stick together? Some glue you buy, I can't remember what brand now, like Huawei brand, or not Huawei, sorry, Huali brand or something, from China one. Okay? After you use, maybe an hour later, poof, it still come out. Right? But you buy those epoxy glue, when you put it together, what happens to the two surfaces? They get glued together so tightly that it's impossible to separate them without major damage to both. Does it make sense? When God what God intended for marriage in the first place, all right, is that the husband or the man, the wife, the two pieces of wood, if you like, be epoxy glued together to be one, to the point that this cannot be separated without major damage to both. That's why God hates, in Malachi chapter 3, God hates putting away, God hates divorce. This world seems to take it very lightly. God hates it with passion. You know why? Because he knows the damage to both sides. Internally, some people say, no, I've gotten over it. We can never get over. Do you realize in the Bible, when there's an adultery involved, God says that stain will not be wiped away. Because for a whole life, a person will actually have to face the stigma. Okay? Nowadays, society tends to play it down. But the pain for the individual will definitely be lifelong. They will always remember there was divorce. Okay? God didn't intend that to punish the people. It is just a natural consequence of the fact that God says the original plan is for the two things to be stuck together so tightly that if you try to separate it, you will do major damage to yourself. Okay? Does that make sense? It wasn't God's intention to damage people, but people wanted to leave. They didn't want to be in the plan of God. Okay? So the cleaving is an important part of the marriage relationship for the family. There are different layers of cleaving. Okay, we've talked about it, but I just want to highlight the three key points. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Okay, Ephesians 5, 21. Okay, sometimes for the younger ones, it's not appropriate for me, but as you grow up, you will definitely need to understand these principles. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. Let's read together, ready? Verse 21 and 22, ready? 1, 2, go. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay? The first fastener, okay, we mentioned it many times already, but I just want to highlight it as an internal principle that has to be present for the family to be intact, okay? First thing, once again, is in the scripture, the wife's submission to the husband, okay? That is the glue. It is the epoxy of the wife relationship to the husband. Okay? If there is an unwillingness to submit, there will be a difficulty in the relationship. It can be very subtle sometimes. Okay? So in submission, we have to understand God wants the hierarchy to be very clear. Submission helps the wife to obey the husband in doing what God intends for the family to achieve. So submission is firstly the glue. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 1. Okay, the different verses I'd like to actually highlight. Okay, Proverbs 14, verse 1. Okay, let's read that. This is very important. Proverbs 14, verse 1. And this has to do very much also with the wisdom of wisdom of the wife in relationship within the family. Okay? Let's read together. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Every wise woman buildeth a house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Okay? Solomon was a king. And he has a lot of, use the word woman experience. Okay? How many wives did he have? No, not so many. 700 wives and 300 concubines. No, 300 concubines. Okay? 700 wives and 300 concubines. Okay? You don't know how he managed that. Many times as a king, there were marriages of convenience for alliance sake last time. Okay? But Solomon used all, amassed all his experience, and God used him to write the book of Proverbs to teach us a wise woman will actually build up the house. The word build means has the idea of being involved in building a strong foundation for the family. Okay? But the foolish woman will pluck it down with her hands. You see that there's a different agenda for this person. A wise woman will contribute to the building, a foolish woman will pluck it down. But a wise woman will follow the principles of Scripture to build up the house strong, according to God's will, but a foolish woman will pluck it down with her own hands. Okay? A wise woman will follow the direction God puts for the husband in the family. A foolish woman will follow her own agenda. And therefore, she will always work in cross purposes with God's will within the family. And as a result, if the husband is going this way, the wife is going this way, you will literally pluck it down. And it's interesting what you actually see. The outcome is that the children get very insecure. Okay? After a while. So in terms of submission, it is important to actually understand this is actually a very important fastener for the family. Wife submission, this one. Let's move on to the husband. Okay, look, before that, understand this. In the submission, some woman I mentioned before may say, how am I supposed to submit this person who does not actually do the husband's rightful responsibility? Many times contributing to the insecurity of the wife. Okay, we'll talk about it a bit later in the husband. But very simply, husbands and men next time, it is our job to provide for the security of our wives. Not just financial. Financial is a big thing for the wife. Okay? And many times financial security is something that the wife looks for. That's why in the Jewish traditional culture, you know when does the groom actually comes and take the wife? It's interesting. In the betrothal time, the wife, or rather the man may tell the dad, I think I love that girl from that particular, the same tribe, from that family. So what the dad will do is, the children don't communicate. They don't talk. It's a husband, the father will go to the other father, say, excuse me, my son, like your daughter. Do you think it's possible? And then they will discuss, okay? And then after that, and if the dad actually says, the dad will then ask the daughter, do you think so? The daughter say, okay, then after that, that's over. Okay? That's a very important principle, you know. You know what that means? Dads, your daughters need to be close to you. And daughters, you need to be one to close to you because your dad will protect you with insight into what kind of person this is. And that's a very important principle, the relationship between the daughter and the husband, the, the, daughter and the father. Okay? But on the other hand, the doctor says, fine, dad, whatever you decide. And dad says, yes, I believe this is a good man. I've seen his life, perhaps. And usually they live, you know, they're not so much kampong, they live in the village, and they more or less know one another. Okay? So, and dad says, well, I think he's a good man, he works. Then, in this girl is then betrothed to this man. This man is supposed to go and, you know what the person is supposed to go? They're supposed to go and prepare a place to receive the bride. Okay? If it's not ready, don't come. And interestingly, the bride don't know when he's going to come. Doesn't know. Okay? But the ping-pong principle is the man must be able to build and prepare enough resources so that he can receive the wife back. Therein providing for the security of the wife. Does it make sense? Which means that the husband has to be hardworking. It's not just any Tom, Dick, and Harry that's going to marry your daughter, dads. And daughters need to have a good relationship with your dad, who is actually going to be the protector. The first so-called boyfriend in the daughter's life is actually the father. And that's why when they get married, the dads are the one who give the daughter away. Okay? Right? So, but you know what? It's sad if the man is not someone who is very hardworking and will provide for the security of the daughter, because God's biblical instruction for the wife is to submit. Okay? I think the message for us as men and husbands is our job is to make it easy for our wives to submit. Willingly, cheerfully. Okay? Any questions? Now, let's go on to number two, the second one. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Okay? The glue that connects the wife to the husband must be submission. But then, the glue that commits the husband to the wife, according to Ephesians 5:25, let me just read. Let's read together. Maybe husbands, let's read together, okay? Or all the men. Okay, so it's a lesson point for us, okay? Ephesians 5:25, ready? 1, 2, go. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, so what is the glue that connects, or the fastener that connects the husband to the wife? The husband needs to love, in the Greek word, agape, unconditionally, their wives. Okay, unconditionally, their wives. It's very, you know, the unconditional love is reflected in John 15:13. Anyone know John 15:13? Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus, Paul, in teaching the marriage to man, to the lady, man, the same thing that Jesus mentioned in John 15:13, the ultimate sacrifice of a man's life to give up his life for someone else, is the type of love you need to have in a marriage. That kind of love is a choice. You choose. You choose to sacrifice for this lady. Okay? The love that as men we need to have for our wives is to have unconditional love. And this is something as personally in my own, I actually literally have made a choice. And God has to impress that choice, because I was so absorbed with myself that sometimes I failed to consider the thoughts of my wife. You know, it's not here so I can talk about it. But God actually had to speak to me and say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And God just says, love your wives. Ephesians 5:25. It dawned on me that my love was very selfish. God had to break me to help me understand. Love means you put aside what you think your wife wants and love her just the way Jesus would love the church, sacrificially. Okay? And that's an important principle, because men, what is the key thing? Why do you think God wants us to love our wives sacrificially? Because man by nature is selfish. When you think about ourselves, really, many times you realize one thing. The whole human nature is very selfish. And God says, in order, husbands, for you to help your wife to submit in a willing, voluntary way, the wife needs to see that, hey, I'm love. And the key thing that ladies look for is always love. Okay, that's why ladies get hurt all the time. Because when they, especially in teenage years, they go from one boyfriend to the next boyfriend, and next boyfriend, you know what they're doing? They're looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay? You need to find your love in God, in your family. That's why as husbands, our love for our wives needs to be reflected also in our children. That they need to know, hey, Dad loves me unconditionally. Because if your daughters can't find the kind of love in the homes, you know what they'll try to find? Outside. That's why a lot of girls get into trouble. Agree? So it's a very simple principle. But all the more, it's not just for ladies, girls, teens, but also for our boys. Men, they're growing up. If they can't see how Dad loves them unconditionally, they're going to look for their friends outside. Okay? So, the fastener for husband or wife, the principle of agape love. Not just love in general, agape love. Oh, we need to be friends with our wife, filio, which is a Greek filio. We need to be able to talk, you know, have fun and stuff like this. But when it boils down to the very basic issue, we need to be able to love our wife unconditionally by choice. Okay? How do we love our wives? Look at verse 29. Okay, Ephesians 29. We need to nourish our wife. Okay? It doesn't mean buy bird nest every day. Okay? If you like to, also can. Yes. John 5. Wait, where? Ephesians. Oh, then. Yes, sorry, thank you. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 29. Sorry, Ephesians 5, 29. Okay? Ephesians, thank you. Okay? The word nourish has the idea of nurturing to maturity. That is something that God is working on my heart about. Husband, do you realize it's our wife to help? It's our responsibility as husbands to actually help our wife mature in Christ as the head of the house. Because we nourish it, just like we nourish our children and bring them up properly so that they will have an all-rounded development. In the same way, God expects us to do that too, number one. Number two, interestingly, and we also cherish our wife. The word cherish means to keep warm. Sister Julie is very cold now, so she's keeping warm. Okay? Spiritually speaking, it's the husband's role in the trials of life, in the coldness of sin in this world, in the hatred of what people may do to the wife. The husband is supposed to cherish that wife. Okay? American preachers say that could mean buying her flowers, cards, and really show her and really make sure she knows unmistakably that you are the number one person in my life. Sometimes it's hard, right? We're very busy. But you know, sorry, that's not an excuse. We need to actually be involved in that. Basically, keep the romance in the marriage. Really. Singaporeans are so busy, sometimes we forget our wives' birthdays. Okay, I hope I'm not convicting some of you guys. But the idea of actually keeping warm, and apparently, I almost laugh at this. They say in statistics, if a husband kisses the wife before he goes to work, he has a safety record 300 times higher. In other words, at work, he'll be 300% safer, according to statistical research. Meaning, if there's a close relationship, the man is safer at his work 300% more. Amen? So, it's okay to kiss your wife. I mean, that's what God put there for. But really, of course, you can't say, okay, I want to be safe 200%, so I kiss my wife every time I leave for work. That's not the point. Point is you... Sorry? Sorry? Okay, the research paper didn't say that. It just says, generally, kiss your wife before you leave for work. The man is safer at his workplace, okay? Otherwise... I don't know when... That's an interesting fact. Okay? It's interesting because our relationship at home affects outside. Okay? This is actually statistically shown. Okay? I still need to find the research paper, but it's very interesting. You know, our relationship does affect us at work. It does. Okay? So that's something for us to think. And so husbands, our job is to love our wives, cherish them. Okay? Cherish them. And even as you're growing up, if you're not married, cherish the relationships you have. Your friendship with your church friends, your dad and mom, is a way of learning to give love. You know, it's interesting, I preached on Sunday that God saved us not to live for ourselves. Because we're so selfish, God wants to change us. Of course, we grow as individuals, but ultimately God wants us to live for others, just like Jesus did. So that our impact in this life is not so much power or reputation, but more of helping someone else, in a sense, have a better life. Whether it's helping the person becoming a Christian, understanding the love of God, or just being kind to that person. Okay? So, but coming back to this, the glue, husbands, that we have to connect with our wives is love. Nothing else. Not money. Some of you may have heard this before. What do you think men needs the most in a marriage relationship? Why is what you think? You're going to FBI, you probably heard this before. What is the most important thing men needs? Or what maybe are you, what's the most important thing that woman needs? Men? Okay? Some say, well, what else? Anyone else? Apparently there's actually a pastor actually did a research. Not research, he kind of just handed out things for a whole group of I think it's a marriage seminar or family seminar. All the wives say, okay, what's the most important need in the life of a woman? What's the most important need in the life of a man? Okay? And all the women, most of them, wrote, the most important need in a woman's life is love. Okay? What do you think the man needs? A mother? Okay. Okay. Well, no. Okay, but that's interesting. We actually seen one couple that the husband is so dependent on the mother that when he got married, he's so dependent on the wife. The wife actually complains so much and says, "This man I've married, although I love him, is so weak spine. It's not funny." He's even depending on the wife to support him. The wife had to leave him. Thank God, he became a Christian. He was a Christian, but he didn't learn how it means to be strong. But later on, after that, he realized actually it was his fault. After that, he didn't get married after that. And he tried to keep a job. And that's happened. Coming back, what do men need? Besides a mother. Any insights, ladies? Sorry? Respect. It's interesting. The pastor actually found that the man actually wrote, "Yeah, guys don't need love. They need to be learned. They need to be respected." And that's why sometimes when a lady, okay, I'm not saying here, but generally when a wife says, "Why don't you love me? And why are you like that? Why are you not so rich compared to that person? Why you cannot climb a career ladder?" And all that kind of thing. Not knowing that the husband may be trying his best. You know what the husband will do? Keep quiet. Because we know if we fight, we shall win. But we just back off. And honestly, in that relationship, we cut it out. We chill to that relationship. Because when we come back and always face this, I'm not saying my wife do it to me. Okay, we actually cut ourselves out from the relationship. So over time, we just walk out. Because if I don't get respect from this lady whom I claim to love, that's why for husbands, it is a choice to love. Irregardless of whatever you receive from anyone, your wife needs to know that I don't care what you say of me, I still love you. I may not be living up to your expectation, but I have a basic expectation for you. I love you. Because that's what a lady needs. On the man's side, they actually need respect. Okay? You know, going on to our sons, the sons needs a lot of honor and respect as well. I know I chew up my son sometimes. You know, I just always bring them to our conference room. Shh, let's go and follow me to the room. That's why we have it out, you know. And then I say, "Look, I still trust you." So our daughters, we need to. They need to be loved and know that someone cares about how they feel. you. Then they'll grow. Okay? And one thing I've learned in my relationship with my children is never to discipline them publicly. Bring them aside. So that you preserve their, I don't like to use the word self-esteem, but to preserve their integrity as a person. So that they are given the opportunity to realize their mistake without being embarrassed outside. Because otherwise they've got two things to cope with. Okay? So this is just certain things I've learned in my own life, how to deal with children. When children are rowdy and not listening, we need to actually deal with them. Okay, just leave them. So, husband, we need to choose to love. Okay, wife, can you see that as husbands, if we would love our wives the way God tells us to love, it's very easy for our, sorry, if as husbands we will love our wives unconditionally and the wife can see that, it will be very easy for the wife to submit. Because she's receiving what God tells me to give her. I'm doing my best for her, and she's seeing all the actions that my husband is doing for me because he loves me. So I don't mind cooking the best meal every day, and even if I slave in the kitchen every day, I'm not grown because I know my husband loves me. And so that relationship, can you see that it actually binds? Anytime, if there's any doubt about the love of the husband to the wife, or anytime the husband doubts the submission, it all goes into disarray. It's actually a very simple principle. These are ligaments that tie the bones together. Alright, you can move a bit faster. The last one is, children, you're not left out. Huh? Now we deal with mom and dad. Now we have the children. Ephesians 6, what's the glue that ties the child to the... There's a mom. Let her be. Again, obedience. Yes. Okay, I preached this like 13,000 times. But you know, obedience is so important. Yet, it's the hardest thing for children sometimes to actually obey their parents. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience is such a key thing. It's not funny. When you became a Christian, did you know that you obeyed God? You obeyed the gospel. That's why you became a Christian. It was a commandment for us to repent. And as a result, we repented. We came to Christ. Obedience is a key thing. But for children, understand this, as dad is struggling hard to do the right thing, as mom is struggling hard to do the right thing, and if you will struggle hard in your role of just obeying, the whole family is actually fighting together as one unit. Okay? And that's a very important principle. When everyone is just doing what they're supposed to do, is bound, as a family, you're bound together. Okay? So I just want to leave you with this. Three thoughts. Might be very simple, but to fasten the family together, there must be submission on the part of the wife, there must be unconditional love on the part of the husband for the wife, and there must be obedience. If at any point this is missing, the family becomes, you may have a strong foundation, thank God, but you know what, the structures within will be shaky. Okay? Christians can still sail through life, but you know, sometimes the house can be damaged. But we thank God that we still have Christ as our foundation. Okay, any questions?